Okay.
Noise.
We are within the these four very, very auspicious days right now that are called by the Baal Shem Tov God's name, because the 4 days that are in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot are almost like in this month, the month of Libra, the month of Tishrei. They're almost like that scale, right? That's holding these two paradigms of what we call Gevura, intensity, and Chesed. And this month is this month of holding opposites together, holding the intensity. And then at the same time, there's joy. And it says, Gilu bir adah. You should be joyous while having trepidation, right? And then there is absolute joy, which we find now in this holiday that we're about to enter, the holiday of Sukkot. But while being in this level of joy, we are still, hi, welcome. We are still in, you brought us some food. You're in the right place, don't worry.
Yeah.
So these 4 days are days that are very much transitional, that we're going from where we came from, which is at the beginning of the month, we were in this place of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then going to Sukkot, which is really one continuation. So the way the Zohar explains, and we're going to talk about this transition, the way the Zohar explains what the sukkah is absolutely beautiful, and it's incredibly touching. That when we enter the sukkah, we should meditate, and we should literally not just meditate, but we should feel the embrace of Hashem, of the Creator around us, giving us a hug. And the lesson is like this: we know that that a sukkah is a kosher sukkah if it has two walls, right? And it has to have a little bit, what is called a tefach, a little bit which is coming outside of the second wall, right? And that's what we call like a, not an ideal sukkah, but it's kosher, right? And then we've got another level of sukkah, which is three walls. That's better. But then we've got the best type of a sukkah hat is surrounded by four sides. And it's actually learned out by in different places. The words sukkah and sukkot are spelled differently. And from there, our sages learn out that why they spell differently, because we know that they are kosher, they're legitimate if they don't have exactly four walls. Now the lesson is like this: that when we know that there's different ways of hugging, of embracing. And I think most people don't know or are uncomfortable hugging, and for different reasons, and you know, some of them are holding on to different perhaps traumas. Other people are just, you know, the whole distance of our Western society. So one could give a hug, which is like this, right? A semi hug, which is like, you know, you're kind of like tapping on the person, and it's basically like, when are we gonna separate, right? And it's a very quick one. Another deeper level of a hug is where you embrace the person, right? And you surround them on three sides, right? And that's much better. You bring them closer to your heart, and there's an embrace, what we call an embrace of hearts, which is very, very healthy as well. There's the two hearts which are beating and that are actually feeling the synchronicity from this embrace, right? But it's still not a complete embrace. A real hug is when all four sides, right, of us are embracing someone else, and the other person as well embracing us on four sides, right? Like that. And the Zohar says that when we enter the sukkah, right, on whatever level that our sukkah is, we should recognize, and the ideal is again the four sides. We should recognize and we should feel that we are embraced by the absolute love of the Creator that is literally pouring infinite blessings and love and embracing us while we are centered, while we are in the middle of this sukkah. And so let's just go a little bit back. According to Kabbalah, there's a process, there's a method in this journey that we're in. Basically, it starts off with Rosh Hashanah. It goes off, then it continues to Yom Kippur, as we mentioned, and then it goes to Sukkot. And as we mentioned, it's like those two sides of the scale, right? But it's still part of one complete month. It's the month of Tishrei, the month of Libra, right? Anyone here a Tishrei baby, Libra baby, right? Yeah, could see that. Well, you're Elul.
It's Ula, but Libra in the English.
Oh, in the English calendar. Okay, so you're both signs. So this month really incorporates opposites. It incorporates at the beginning its intensity, and then it goes to joy. And the way the Kabbalists explain is that there's a process over here which is called Binyan Hamalchus. There's the building of the kingship. Okay, there is a process that happens at the beginning of the month of Tishrei, where everything goes back to its inceptional point. That everything goes back to the, like what we call like stage zero, right? Before the creation of the world. And we go back to that place. We go to that place and we elicit this recreative process that God wants to recreate the world. And essentially what we call build this this archetype of malchut, of kingship. Which Malchut is the embodiment of the Creator. It's not just the knowledge, but it is the embodiment of the Creator in this world, where the Creator knows himself via us. We know the Creator while he's knowing himself, and we're intimately connected to this knowing, right? This knowing is being known, right? As the Rambam says, the Maimonides says that he is the knower, he is the knowledge, and he is what is known. So when we're thinking and we're knowing, it's God knowing. And we're knowing God via our minds, right, and hearts. And what we really know is God. The whole notion of separation is really an illusion, because there really is just unity. There really is just oneness. But how do we get to that oneness, right? That oneness is there. And that's what the Creator, that's what God wants us to know, which is really knowing him. And that interconnection and all of us knowing what we know, we're knowing this in unison, right? So our, like, my knowledge is not independent of your knowledge, right? And we're all in it in the same boat. And that's the notion of malchut, of kingship. Kingship is this notion of all the separateness that is in the world is all about reuniting and knowing that there is oneness, that there is just oneness, right? There's unity. There's a pervading unity that is at the core of all of existence. And that unity, we could call it love. We could call it awe, right? The truth is, it's both. It's God created the world with chesed, with love. That's why he created the world. It came through love. and everything is the vibration, the vibrational frequency of everything in creation is chesed, olam chesed ibane. Yet we need to balance that level of love with what we call awe. And that whole process of Rosh Hashanah is there's love, there's the chesed, but it's at the same time, it's an awesome, right? Literally time. There's awe in the air because the creator is felt. And when the creator is felt, oneness is felt. There's a level of unity through awe. We have two levels of unity. We could have it again through love, where we feel like unity because there is a pervading feeling of love or joy, which are very much interchangeable. When everyone is if we're at a simcha, at a joyous event, and we're all joyous, so we all feel that joy together, right? There's that communal level of joy. And then there's also a level of unity when we feel that we feel through awe. And that's what happens on Rosh Hashanah. There's that feeling of awe, which is in the air. And from that level of awe is where we start to what we call build, that the creator, right, is building this edifice. It's called the Binyan HaMalchus. According to Kabbalah, within the first 10 days, the 10 sefirot are actually becoming manifested day after day. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is the manifestation of Keter, of crown, of the meta consciousness of all of creation. And Yom Kippur goes down to Malchut, to kingship, where there's a we could say a birth. There is an evolution, right, which is interconnected to each other. And finally, on Yom Kippur, right, there's the kingship, and we know that a king wears a crown. So again, the king or kingship or malchut, which is, by the way, a feminine sphere, goes back up to receive from Keter, and it's all really one. And we realize that this, and that's why they're both on the level of awe, right? Because we feel that sense of awesomeness of the king, of there's only oneness because there's the creator, there's right, there's a boss, you know. Still is. So he's in the field.
We feel.
Yeah, there's definitely there's a different feeling. Yeah.
Awareness. That's why.
Right. So, but
then there's a sort of more.
A level of awe. There's the feeling of awe. But then now we're in the stage which is called the 4 days, which are in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, which is again that pendulum where we're shifting from a place of awe to a place of love.
God,
right?
Also knew that in 4 days you would build the Sukkot, even if it's for 300 people. 4 days, you have that.
So what are those 4 days about, right? So these 4 days are days of manifestation, essentially. They're very, very powerful days. They're days that we're like, well, what's happening over here? I'm building this, so I'm doing stuff. I'm supposed to. There's quiet in between. There's quiet before, like the good stuff. There's something which is about to unfold, which has been downloaded, and now we're waiting to set it up. Sort of like, well, what am I going to do with my downloads? So I received so much during these days, like something happened. Surely something happened, right? You know, we went through a process, whatever process it is, whether we know it or not, there's a cosmic process which happened on that first day of this month of Tishrei for everyone in creation, every single human being, every single species, in fact, and the inanimate, every single part of creation, to the most micro part of creation, it's all interconnected, and every single detail, all the synchronicities which are going to unfold during this year were downloaded during the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and then the next subsequent like 8 days, there's a download there. So
folders that were
downloaded over here. So now what do we do with these folders? What do we do with them? These 4 days, we go from a stage of doing the work of awe to transitioning to doing the work of love, of feeling that feeling of embrace, of loving. So the first day of these 4 days is the letter Yud, which is the letter of God's holy name, which is connected to wisdom, to divine wisdom, and to that inspiration, which is there, which is not our inspiration. Like when we have an idea, when we have a eureka moment, when we have an inspirational moment, where does that come from? A chokhma me'ayin timatzeh comes from this ethereal place. And what we need to do is just grab it, grasp it, right? But we're not yet ready to do something with it. The first thing you have to do is chokhma, koachma, realize that we're receiving something from the ethereal, right? That's there in the space. That's there in the, right? That's in our frequency, right? That we've received. The next day, letter Hey, we are able to download a little bit more of the understanding. Now, what am I doing with this download? What am I supposed to be doing, right? Now, what do I want to do this year? What kind of a person do I want to become, right? Am I called to become, right? Who am I evolving into, right? Am I allowing that evolving to actually happen, take place, or am I forcing that I need to be something? And it's very, very natural. We're like pushed into who and what we're supposed to be doing. Like it's like what we choose to do is like we could knock our heads against like, I want to do this, I want to do that. But it's like, it's not gonna, you're not really meant to do that. You're meant to do this. And once we allow ourselves to do that and go with the flow with that, of picking up from that frequency of first the letter Yud, there's something there. What am I supposed to be doing? Not blocking it, because I got rid of all my blocks on Yom Kippur. What are the blocks? The blocks are the emotional blocks, all of the resistances which I hold from within, right? Which we call sins, which we call avera, chet, whatever you want to call those scary words, but they're very like basic. It's like we're holding ourselves back because of what we do, basically, what we choose, right? And a lot of the choices come from a place of fear, right? Most of the bad choices in our lives come because of fear. Like, well, what if this, what if I don't, what? And then I want to do this, you know? And so we get rid of that, right? And we start a clean slate. We're like that page is now just like white page. Like right after Yom Kippur, we get this beautiful white page. And now what do you want to write on it? What are we going to write on it? On, right?
So I want to write.
Manifest that, right? So exactly. So
everything will happen and will be colorful, but no me disturbing in the middle. This is what I will write on my paper.
Beautiful. So bring it on. So the letter Yud is that exceptional place. The letter Hey is now, how do I get there? What are my steps that I want to get to? Again, these days are very, very like macro. They're very big days. They're not just like, oh, it's a regular whatever. Or I went through the holidays or the high holidays and I'm gone. Like when we study a little bit more, right, the depth, then we realize like there is a lot of significance. In fact, the Talmud says that during these 4 days, you know, and it's not meant to be taken literally per se, it's like we're not, we're not culprit, so to speak, for any negative things. It says we don't start the cheshbon, like the process, until the first day of Sukkot, because these days are just like, it's beyond the process, because now we're imagining and we're thinking about what do we want the year to look like, right? So today was or is, right, the third day of these 4 days. And that's the letter Vav. And the letter Vav is connected to the emotions, the Zer Anpin. And that's a very, very important aspect, because when we want to manifest, when we want to think about something, we can't just think about it and wish and just, and even when we pray, it's not enough just to pray. We're supposed to actually feel and feel that that Hashem has heard us, right? And what does that mean to feel that Hashem has heard us? It means to feel like, not like, oh, I'm praying, and some people are addicted to praying, which is there's worse addictions, but it could be like, you know, you're just going up and you're just constantly praying and not like doing enough, because yes, God wants us to pray. God wants to speak to him all the time. There's no question about that. But it's not just like, could you do this for me? And like do this for me. Like, God wants us to be active partners with him and actually feel that he, of course I'm with you. You're asking for that. You've got it. Like, the moment that you ask for it, it's yours. Of course I'm here for you. So God is giving us, pouring, like, you know, all of creation, right? Everything in creation is basically for us, but do we feel it? And today is really about feeling it. It's the third day of the month of third day of these 4 days, where we're supposed to let our vav, which we're supposed to draw it down in our emotions. And the emotions are just basically to be aware of, what am I feeling? Like, what do I still have, you know, the same resistances? Am I sure? Do I have the bitachon? Do I have the confidence, the trust? Can I feel what it would feel like to be in that relationship, or to have that level of health or abundance or success or friendship, or not just ask for it, but I actually feel it. Like, I already have that wholeness. Like, I already have that which I'm asking for, right? God wants us to feel that. You know, it is so important to be in that, not just mind state, which it starts off with, right, but actually bringing it into our emotions, because that's really where we're at. We're emotional beings, whether we're male or female. We're emotional beings, and this is where we operate. We operate in this realm of emotions, right? It's where we excel, and it's where we and thrive, and it's where we fail, right? And we have our greatest shortcomings is there. So that's today. And then tonight and tomorrow, right, or for us now, is the last letter of the name, which corresponds to the letter Hey, and it corresponds to embodying and being, right? So there's emotions. You could have the emotional feeling, but when you're actually that, and then you and the emotions and you and the, it's all one, because it's basically you are the receptacle of it all, which we are, right? I mean, we are this, again, Malchut, which the last letter of the last letter is Malchut. And again, what is it all about? It's the building of Malchut. That's what it is, according to Kabbalah, that there's the building of the realm of kingship of Malchut. That's what we're doing. And what are we really getting at over here? we're building our malchut, right? Our inner malchut, which is God's malchut, because it's right. Because within, because we are the creator again, knowing himself, right? And everything in the universe is just knowing itself, and we are knowing each other. We're really knowing ourselves by knowing each other, right? By being kind to someone else, by embracing someone else, we're embracing ourselves, because there's, again, there isn't that separation. There's that unity which we're getting to. And then that brings us finally to this holiday of Sukkot, right? And this is, welcome. And it brings us to Sukkot. And this is where, sure.
Example for a person who's addicted to prayers. How does he act?
So, nervous, like very, 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 very anxious and very nervous because you're just like, I'm sorry to say, like we could be like religiously just like praying and even religion, right, is addictive, and it could, and it's not about, there's an expression from the Hasidim of the Alter Rebbe. It's not about being more religious. It's about being more clear. It's about being more clear. It's not a, like, that's what it's about. And I think that there's an extremism that there is in general. It's not about, again, religious. I think it comes from people that need to have the results, like to control the results. So the more I pray, the more I'm going to control the results, because that shows that I'm dictating. It's right. And actually the Talmud says that that's not a good way of praying, because it's because that's a recipe for having heartache. That's the word over there, where you're having like a little bit of, you know, you're, that overdoing is not a good thing, because there's the putting it out there. But then afterwards, we are the co-creators, right? God wants us to now, okay, you've got it. Now what? Now do something with it. You know, now create, now be, now draw down, now manifest all this incredible goodness in the world, right? So once again, it's it could be, prayer could be addictive, 100%. Yet there's a different level of prayer, which is called hitbodedut. And there's many different types of prayer, right? But hitbodedut is a manner of prayer of speaking to the creator as you would to your friend, basically. And it's not like the beseeching level of prayer of like, God, please, like, but it's like feeling the creator in my life, in my day-to-day life, as I'm taking a walk. So it's very much nonchalant. It's very much natural. And it's not this forced level prayer. Again, there are times for prayers, which are three times a day, just like when we eat in Judaism, that we have three times for prayer, which are stipulated, right? Which are very, very powerful. They're very, very powerful times, because we know that time, like connecting to things in their right time, is very, very auspicious. But then beyond those times of like overdoing is also not a beneficial thing, right? But there is that level of prayer which is called hitbodedut, where one casually and almost like nonchalantly in their day-to-day seeing the creator in their life, that is almost a meditative level of prayer, where prayer and meditation kind of like go together.
That's the only way I've ever, I mean, I'm not particularly religious, so I never learned the formal brachas, but I've done this a lot. I feel like a mad woman. I sometimes just talk to myself. I'll whisper things to God, and I'm like, that's why I put
that's amazing.
It's like I'm speaking, but I'm speaking to him.
So it's called hitbonenut, which is meditation, And hit bodedut is
lonely nation.
Is hit bodedut means like solitude. But it's speaking to the creator as we're friends, right? Right? Yeah. Yeah. Hit bodedut, right? And that's something very, very big that Rabbi Nachman, you know, really made a point of, you know, of spending time every single day, just in with your own words, you know, just speaking to the creator, right? Okay, so now that brings us now to Sukkot, this holiday of Sukkot, where after these intense days of the high holidays, of days of awe, we come to days of love, right? Where we enter the Sukkah. And that entering the Sukkah once again is entering this embrace, this divine embrace, where the Creator embraces us. And we sit in this canopy that's called the Schach, right? And in this temporary dwelling is where the Torah actually says, this is Leman Yedu Dorotechem Kibasukotu Shafti Etchem. That you shall know. The word is dat, leman yedu. The word is that you should know from the which dat in Hebrew means inner consciousness. That our inner consciousness is meant to be peaked up, is meant to be satiated with this knowing that we are embraced. Right, so we are awakening this level of da'at, this level of inner knowing, which is not an intellectual knowing, right? We've got intellectual knowing, which are in the books, and we've got knowing, which is in the heart. Yeah. And that knowing in the heart, da'at, right, the Zohar says, is the key of the six. That's the way the Zohar calls dat. Dat is the key to the six. You want to know how to unlock the six, which what are the six? The six are actually the six cubes of sides of the cube of the Sukkah, which we're sitting underneath, which are also the six sfirot, which are chesed, kindness, gevura, discipline, tiferet, harmony, Netzach, discipline, Hod, humility, Yesod, bonding. And what's the key to them? What's the key to the emotion, to those divine emotions, the six sfirot? They are, the key to that is the inner knowledge, is the inner knowing, right? Which is found in our hearts, right? Yeah, any questions? Yes.
It feels like an embodied truth.
It's that's ex-
like that gnosis rather than knowledge. That's like you read in the book, it's something you feel. It's like what we were saying yesterday, like when you feel something so true that you believe, it's just like, oh, it's here.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So that knowledge again is not intellectual knowledge. When we sit in that sukkah, in that space during these next 7 days, that's what this holiday is. It's every day unlocking a different facet of ourselves. Right. And a different dimension of ourselves. Right. As we enter this space. Right. So the word for a canopy in Hebrew is schach. And the numerology of schach is 100. And there's a teaching that how many times do we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah? 100. There's 100 sounds altogether, you know, ideally. So the 100 sounds of the shofar eventually become concrete in a sense. I mean, it's not concrete, it's spiritual, but it materializes to now rest over, right, over our heads, right? And there's another teaching that the smoke of the ketoret, of the incense of the high priest when he entered the Holy of Holies, that ketoret that literally surrounded him, that incense totally surrounded the entire room, right? Is that sense of the schach, that we're completely surrounded by this mystical, this spiritual envelopment of the Holy of Holies, of the high priest on Yom Kippur. And we enter that space and we become embodied in that space in the sukkah that we sit inside. So I'd like to, if it's okay with you guys, I'd like to maybe do a little meditation, okay, on the sukkah, if we could prepare for Sukkot. And wherever we are, even the meditation on that and understanding and recognizing that sitting in the sukkah is leman yedu, and according to the Torah, the knowing is where it's all at. In other words, you could sit in, you know, you could sit in there and be like, what am I doing here? What's the point of all this, right? Versus I'm here because it's all about in feeling this level of love, of unity, which is felt not just in my mind anymore. It's not just on the level of potentiality anymore. It's on the level of actuality. It's now something that I'm bringing with me into the entire year. So, okay.
That you're experiencing.
That we are experiencing, exactly. Like,
that you should experience.
Throughout the year. Exactly. And that's why it's actually 7 days. The holidays, major holidays that we are 7 days. Why? Because every holiday, like such as Sukkot, is not just during those 7 days. It's something that stays with us for the entire year on a microcosmic level, right? That energy of Pesach is with us the entire year on a microcosmic level as well. That's why there's seven, right? And the number seven is very significant also in a marriage. You know, there's 7 days of celebration where we want to celebrate, and that celebration is something that is taken with a bride and groom for their entire life, right? And conversely, right, God forbid, in the level of Shiva and mourning, you know, there's that, you know, we don't just say goodbye to a loved one, right? We bring them we bring them with us, right? Into our lives. So the notion of the number seven and bringing that joy, right, again, in this is very, very powerful. And we do the seven, exactly. There's so much. And there's the seven ushpizin, which the Zohar talks about. There's the seven guests that come down to us every single day, which remind us, you know, the particular sphera. Okay, so let's find ourselves in a comfortable position with our feet on the ground, firmly on the ground, and the palms of our hands resting comfortably on our knees, either holding them together and allowing our shoulders to drop, our back straight, breathing in from our nose all the way down to our belly. And breathing out. Let's take a number of cleansing breaths. As we're breathing in, let us become aware of the power of breath to give us clarity, alertness, and calmness. Feeling that alertness from our crown chakra, from the top of our heads, scanning all the way down to our soles of our feet. Becoming aware that anywhere inside, any place in our body that is a little bit tense or needs a little bit of love, simply recognize and observe. And give that part of yourself understanding and love. So as we sit here, wherever we are, we recognize that we are in the center. And that center of where we are at is called kingship, malchut. Our bodies are a receptacle for our souls. And we are right here in the perfect place possible. Now, if we could imagine entering the space of the sukkah. The sukkah is the numerology of 91, which has within it the two holy names of God, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the transcendental name above nature, and the name Adonai. And as we enter the sukkah, we are entering a heavenly abode. Above us, we see what we call the schach, the canopy, which is supposed to see the stars. Because above the sukkah, there's an additional surrounding. And endless spheres which surround each other. Let us become grounded within the sukkah, noticing the wall on our right, the wall on our left, wall on our right is our emotional side of chesed, of kindness. Wall on our left, emotional side of discipline. What is in front of us, in our heart, is compassion, harmony, beauty. What is above us is fortitude, courage. What is below us is humility and acknowledgement. And what is in back of us is bonding and connection. In the center of it all, within our hearts, is the inner knowing, which is able to interconnect to all dimensions of ourselves. And of the Creator. By knowing ourselves, we know the Creator. Now let us feel that these six dimensions, although our six dimensions are incredibly profound, the Creator's six dimensions are limitless and empowering, endless, and when we connect each of those dimensions, to the godly dimensions, we become unlimited in our potential. But let us feel in to the feeling of the embrace. Can you feel into love? Can you feel into endless holding and believing of the Creator in you? All limitation and all self-doubt, just allow that to come up and throw it into that space, that endless space, which loves you. Despite and because of your limitations, let us put our hands on our hearts. And allowing with our hands to feel that inner knowing. And allowing us to be us. Knowing that we are embraced. If we could bring our arms around our hands around our arms, just giving ourselves a hug. And gently tapping two sides of our arms. Feeling and knowing that we are held and embraced. Okay, so this is a great little preparation for all of us, for all of you, to get ready for tomorrow when you sit in the sukkah, where it really counts, where it really gets powerful, because then the light is really activated. The light right now is not yet fully activated because we're not in a sukkah and it's not Sukkot yet. But we know that tomorrow, when that light is there, we're ready to bring in all the love. Let it gush deeply into every crevice in every aspect of ourselves and fully feel that limitless love of the Creator. So I want to wish us all a very beautiful Sukkot, where we really step into the sukkah this year and really feel that and bring it with us into the year and feel it in the year, right? Because the world is ready for a lot of love. The world is ready for a lot of love. We've been hurting way too long. We're all ready for it. And I think that it's just, we're just moments away from feeling like the incredible love of everything shifting and each of us doing that work is where it's at, right? Each of us individually and collectively. So Baruch Hashem. So I want to really bless us all with a beautiful, beautiful holiday, beautiful Sukkot, and in a year of really of manifestation for everything that we wish for, everything that we yearn for, everything that we've been yearning for so long. Like, now is the time. This is the year. This is the year. It's like, it's the time right now. Like, there's no more practicing anymore. Like, it's now. It's like, now's the time. That's it. Right on, everyone. Much love. Chag Sameach, everyone. Chag Sameach. Chag Sameach. That's it.
Thank you, Rabbi.
That's it. Thank you. Blessings, everyone. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach. Bye, Shalom.
Bye.